St. Peter describes Jesus Christ in the 38th verse of Acts chapter 10 in a very concentrated and important way. He says of Jesus of Nazareth in verse 38 that he went about doing good, for God was with him. Now, the phrase that I want to ask you to think about for a moment is the phrase doing good. Doing good is the Battle of Waterloo for the human race. That is, if you're on Napoleon's side. It is the end of the line for anyone who really is trying to lead a good and upright life, because the problem with doing good, which apparently Jesus did, but I'm much more conflicted than he, needless to say, is that doing good falls on the great specter of human failure. And what we're going to talk about for a minute today is the relationship of doing good and stress, and how to find a way through stress. You see, what it means in this context is he did what was right. Now, you and I, when we try to do what is right, we either fail and we're despondent, or we do what is right and we look down on everybody else. You know, you're either the prodigal son who goes out to Vancouver because you can't, or Asheville, because you can't handle whatever it is you think you're supposed to be, or you do right and you're the straight arrow and you stay back home, but everybody looks upon you as the goody two-shoes of the family, and this hits you big time at the funeral of your father. And sibling rivalry comes into it. You're doing right, but you're accused of self-righteousness, and maybe you even are, or you're doing wrong and you're despondent and you hate all those other people who apparently are doing right. This accounts for hippies and preppies, by the way. I just interpreted the origin of the word hippie and the origin of the word preppy. I just thought I'd share that. Now, the thing about doing good and the great problem that it is the secular form of the problem of doing good and not being able to do it is what we today call stress. We take the ethical kick out of it and simply say, I've got a lot of things I'm supposed to do, and I can't do them all, and that creates stress. I've got tons of agendas and other people's expectations and this, that, and the other thing that I'm supposed to be and do, and I can't, and that causes stress. Remember, stress has nothing to do with overwork, has nothing to do with tiredness. Stress has to do with guilt. Stress has to do when you've got too much on you, or something on you you resist and you can't do it. And either you do it, but you're exhausted, or you fail, and it's just a terrible long-term spiral. Now, Mary and I discover the specter of trying to do good and failing, which in secular terms is trying to do what you're supposed to do and not doing it, whenever we go to La Paz. Now, La Paz is a wonderful, wonderful restaurant in Crestline. And every time we go there, because we love this place, because it's so noisy, we can talk. We love this restaurant because whenever we go there, we have a rewind, a video rewind to our lives 20 years ago. Because everyone who goes to La Paz, as you know, if you go between 5 and 7:30, is a young couple with small children. And so we have a rewind. And we see, you know, we remember very vividly our lives as they were for about 15 years, which was carrying car seats around and restaurant seats around and millions of diapers and her, me being a bad father and her being a great mother and overwork and never talking to each other and our love life, you know, going straight down the tubes. And actually, the analogy is wrong. And the whole thing is, it's a terrible problem. So we go to La Paz, but we see you, or you see us, and we're living in a rewind. And it's a rewind of ceaseless, frantic activity. You know, in our day, it was a caravan. Now it's another kind of car. And driving from ballet lesson to athletic event, believe it or not, to game, to this, to that, and the other thing, to work, to trying to keep body and soul together, and basically being tired all the time, being wiped out, being a little mad at each other, and being utterly thrown by the incredible complexity and difficulty of an arduous life with small children. La Paz. Now, the same thing that we are talking about with doing good morally or ethically relates to trying to do all that you're supposed to do at a phase of life when you've got a lot on your plate. It's the same thing. You either get self-righteous because you do it, or you look at people in their big cars who appear to be doing it on their cell phones at the stop sign. They appear to be doing it, and you hate them. Or you make all these judgments about everybody else, or you just are tired all the time. And actually, believe it or not, some people get extremely depressed and very, very low. And a lot of marriages, if you want to know the truth, conclude after the child bearing early years are over, because there's been nothing between the man and the woman. Now, what I'm trying to say is that all this has to do with the power of the phrase, he went about doing good. He, to quote Mary's brilliant epigram here, my wife's epigram, he was the elder brother in that story of the prodigal son, but without resentment. He did good, but he didn't resent it. He was obviously enabled to do good for a reason, as opposed to you and me, who are constantly going down like kamikaze pilots in the middle of our very complex, heavy, burdensome lives. Now, what is the secret here? The secret here of doing good, keeping your head above water, relates to this phrase, which is in the same verse. He went about doing good, for God was with him. Now, the word for is a causal word, isn't it? It means because. He went about doing good. Why? Because nobody can. Nobody can unless they're self-righteous on the one hand or lost and troubled on the other. For God was with him. And this is what I want to express to you today. The only way that you can possibly do good in your life is by giving up and having good interest. If you think that you're going to get something out of life by doing the right thing all these years and slaving away at your life, and getting some kind of reward or some kind of peace, someone that's well done and faithful, you've got another thing coming. That's called the law. The law says, if I love enough, I'll get loved. The law says, if I do it right, I'll be where I'm supposed to be. Grace says, I cannot. I'm a failure. God forgives me. And that gives me the gas to do good. Doing good comes out of having good done to you. It is not the other way around. See it like this. Life success is an A and a B. It is not a B and an A. The A is, I can't do this thing. I cannot live my life the way I'm supposed to do. I am cracking up. Everybody thinks I'm great on the outside, but I am inwardly cracking up. That's A. God, I'm here, and I can't do this. We know how Jesus Christ regards us. He forgives us. He loves us and forgives us. And then, inevitably, you're touched, and you can love, and you can do. And instead of it being a labor of the law, it becomes, believe it or not, even fun. Sometimes. It becomes a joy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Belovedness precedes loving. Loving does not precede belovedness. If you love or you do to get back, that's the law. And the law holds the whole world accountable, that every man may be stopped up in his mouth, because no one can be justified by works of the law, Romans 3:27. The gospel says, I cannot stop me, for God was with him. And when we're loved, we always move ahead. That's why you married the woman you're married to, because she proved really nice when you were really low. That's why old men always marry their nurses. Don't let on, but that's what it is. That is to say, they marry the Florence Nightingale. You married Florence Nightingale. You married somebody, or him. He showed you that you could let your hair hang down when you talked to him. And in that moment, you lit up like a lamp, and your whole life became a butterfly out of a burden. Well, that's what it means when he says he did good, for God was with him. Now, listen, if you think that you're going to find some kind of happiness in your life by doing a lot of things, all of which are good, all of which are in fact good, but if you think that you're going to get something for that, you will only find that when your children leave home, you're depressed, and when the work doesn't turn out, you're bitter, and when your relationship with someone flames out, you become terribly, terribly cynical. If you understand that it is in the brokenness of the person who cannot to whom God says, "Thou art nevertheless my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then you will discover that you will do good, and the La Paz restaurant will take off like an incandescent rocket ship to the highest heaven. Let us pray as we're seated. Heavenly Father, where we have got it back to front, where we are B to A in the stresses of our lives, today move to correct us and to take us in the anarchy, in the chaos, in the loose-endedness and the frustration, and to give to us thy word of everlasting promise and grace. Thou art my beloved daughter, in thee am I well pleased. And then, by your grace, help us to love from the heart. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.